On Friday, early adopting dorks, EADs, across the country will line up at their nearest Apple store to pick up the iPhone 3G. In the unlikely event that they have a girlfriend, they will pass off their first-generation iPhone to said girlfriend. Look, I kid, they won't have a girlfriend. So what happens with the old iPhones is that they become a piece in a collection. From giant cell phones to old motherboards, a growing number of vintage tech collectors are turning old beige electronic equipment into objets d'art. I spoke with one collector, Jason Savitt of the Vintage Tech blog. He owns an embarrassment of old gear, and as you'll hear, the phone we reached him on may soon be in a museum. The card next to it will say, worst cell phone ever. I asked him if it matters whether the stuff he collects is in working order.
The older it gets, the harder it is to get it to work. So a lot of times those are just, I call them reference pieces, just something that somebody can take a look at that would be able to take a look and see what the technology looked like or felt like or worked at that one time.
Right. What is your prized possession?
Right now, that would be an Altair 8800. And what that is, it's considered one of the first personal computers.
It dates back to what year?
Dates back to about 1975.
And what kind of amazing things could you do on a personal computer in 1975? Blow my mind.
Blow your mind. Well, it had, I believe, about 256 bits of RAM. That is like a quarter of a kilobyte, and you programmed it by just flicking switches and watching the output on LEDs.
Was there a keyboard?
No.
Let me ask you this. Collecting this stuff, sometimes there are very few computers now that where the only inputs are switches. But can you see where today's technology comes from? Is it like the evolution of man? You could see, wow, without this thing, we never would have gotten something we use today.
Definitely. The evolution of the iPod, for example. I see it starting back as early as the early 1950s when they had the Regency TR-1 radio, which was the first transistorized radio. Then from there, you had technologies that came along, like the Walkman, you know, the portable CD player. Then you had the Diamond Rio, and then you had a few other MP3 technologies that used flash and hard drives, you know, long before the iPod ever came out. Apple just kind of took an existing technology and popularized it. But, you know, the real revolution was the Regency TR-1. And I can see those go for, you know, several hundred dollars on eBay.
And we leave Jason Savitt as we met him, in a hail of hard-to-understand new technology. As if to underscore his point, I believe Mr. Savitt is saying, I'm sorry, Hal, I can't do that. But we thank him, even though he maybe can't hear us. Jason Savitt is a collector and the man behind the Vintage Tech blog. Thank you, Jason. Okay, I think he's had a welcome. Ah, I love it when a plan comes together. To keep the vintage computer thing going, BPP producer Ian Chillog joins me in the studio with two purposes. One, what is your Fruity Cheerios versus Fruit Loops
You know, I like the
verdict classics.
I'm a Fruit Loops man through and through.
And more to the point, he is now talking about another fellow, a guy who repurposes old computers. Take it away, Ian.
Yeah, I saw this amazing video online, and I just had to call up the guy to hear how he did it. And we'll put up a video on our website, too. For now, let's just hit the music.
Don't get any bigger.
All right, what we're hearing right now is the song Nude. It's nice, right?
It's haunting.
Radiohead held a contest on their website to remix the song. You could take the tracks and, you know, shuffle it up however you wanted.
They gave it to you in raw form.
Right.
Play with.
So this guy, this video producer in Scotland, James Houston, he'd been kicking around an idea for years to basically get a bunch of old computer parts and make them sing. He was a Radiohead fan, and Nude fit perfectly.
The alternative title of the song was Big Ideas Don't Get Any, and I just like the idea of all this old redundant hardware trying to get big ideas and trying to do something that they're not quite able to do and not quite getting there, so falling short.
So he gets the tracks, and rather than doing, you know, a traditional remix like I think they intended, he programs the machines and makes them sing it.
It's just a matter of collecting old pieces of hardware, you know, big borrow or steal, and trying my best to, you know, not electrocute myself and not to blow anything up. But I managed to get there in the end, I think.
That's a dot matrix printer.
The printer itself was just, it was a matter of prodding and poking at the printer to try and get the good music out of it.
Right here? Hear that?
Yeah.
That kind of bass? Yeah. That's a scanner going back and forth?
Right.
And the vocals have just come in?
That?
Yeah.
That's
hard drives? You know, hard drives. Here, he'll explain.
The way a hard drive works is kind of like a record player. So you've got the disc, and then you've got the arm that, you know, seeks back and forward over it to try and find the data. And the sound that you hear is the arm just scraping back and forward across the disc itself.
What are the beeps?
That's a computer called the ZX Spectrum, which was basically like a Commodore 64, just an early home computer, and he's just kind of programmed it to play these bleeps and bloops. I find it very moving. I told James that I found that kind of a really weird sensation to be really moved by something that computers were doing, and he said a lot of the feedback he's been getting from people is pretty similar to that.
I've had quite a lot of people reporting that they started crying when watching the video as well. I think it definitely touches people in a way that I'm finding it quite difficult to work out or get my head around.
I know why. It's like the what was it called? The land of forgotten toys, the land of lost toys. The technology is old. It no longer serves a function or purpose for us, so we discard it. But he's making us realize that there's something beautiful in it still.
Right. Well, I think it might actually be something else. Like I was thinking that you have these old machines and they want to sing, like he says, but they can't. Like essentially you can see them wanting to be human, and when you think about the Turing test, you know, basically like the test of artificial intelligence, that when a computer can fool a man into thinking that it's human, then you have artificial intelligence. And I think, you know, machines today that make music, they're much more convincing. They sound more like pianos, and you can even, you know, simulate a human voice really well. These aren't really pulling it off. And I think that the farther they are from being convincing, the more it feels like they have an ambition to do it.
Yeah. Now, do you know what Radiohead thought of the Houston remix?
Yeah, they liked it. They posted it on their website. And he actually, he's just kind of blown up on the internet and has had job offers to do video production. And so it's really turned out well for him.
Ian Chillog, BPP producer, thanks for sharing.
You got it. So don't